So with that said, the reason I said I want to make sure you have your coffee, your tea, is because today what we're going to look at is one of the most difficult passages, or one of the most difficult passages in the New Testament. This one is, there's so many different views, perspective on this text. So with that said, the teaching style today will be a little bit different. It'll be more of a didactic teaching, which meaning it may feel like you're in a lecture or a Bible study. You smiling about that, huh? And so, because with this text, that's just the way we have to go through it and make sure we get an understanding of it so that we can go to the other places of scripture and look at, you know, the old and the new. So it may be a little bit different. It may feel Bible study-ish. But I just want us to get an understanding, because this is it's a difficult text to really understand. And so that's where we're going to spend our time, just trying to understand the text here, 17 through 20. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to dig into this text and try to get an understanding of what Jesus is talking about here when he's talking about the law and the prophets and abolishing the law and the prophets and preaching the law. And so we're going to dig into that today. With that said, let us just pray before we get into the scriptures. Lord God, outside of you, Lord, we're just going to read words. God, we need your spirit present. We need wisdom and understanding, God. Help us to see your glory in your word. You had it written down for a reason, God, so that we may learn of you and see who you are, to understand your ways, also to be uplifted and encouraged through it, God. So I'm praying, Lord, as we look at your word, will you help us to see it? Help us to understand it correctly. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to continue our study in the Sermon on the Mount. Last week, we looked at our identity, who we are. Salt and light, right? We are salt and light. And today we're going to keep going down in this passage, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 20. And so let's just read that and we'll come back. So this is Jesus. He's still on the mount with his disciples, with the crowd, and he's continuing to teach. And so Jesus says this, 17, and this is the NASB. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or jot or stroke shall pass from the law, tittle, until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Man, a call to greatness. Fernando asked me for a title. So that's how I would title it, a call to greatness. So the Old Testament, I just want to speak on that. The Old Testament, or the Tanakh, that's an interesting book, right? When you read through there, there's a lot of customs and practices that are kind of different for us. For example, you have like a lot of ceremonial things. You have the sacrifices. You have all of these different dietary restrictions. You can't eat certain foods. You can't touch certain things, or you're considered to be unclean. And when we read that text, the Old Testament, we often wonder, wow, it's the word of God, but are we still practicing those things? Oh, do we still have to go according to the commandments of all the rituals and all the holy days and all the festivals that we read in the Old Testament? Are we still subject to those things? Do we still have to obey those things? See, those are some of the questions, at least, that I have when I read the Old Testament. Or that's some of the questions that I did have when I read the Old Testament. Which one was applicable to us? And so today in this scripture, I hope that those questions get answered. As we look at what Jesus is saying here about the law and the prophets, that we get a better understanding of what we are responsible to uphold, what we are responsible to do. And not only do I hope those questions get answered in the text today, but also I want to let you kind of give you a heads up. In the coming year, the church, you know, we're doing the Bible reading plan. Next year, we're going to be studying the Old Testament. And so this text is going to be good in prepping us so that we know how to interpret what we're reading and how to apply it to our lives. So this is a very important text that we're looking at today for right now and for what we were doing in 2018 as we go through the Old Testament. So with that said, here in this text, Jesus is continuing to address the crowd and the disciples. And he starts in 17 by trying to clear up some misconceptions here. So that's the way he says, do not think that I come to abolish the law and the prophets. So there seems to be some type of misconceptions about Jesus. Isn't that crazy? It shouldn't be shocking because there's a lot of misconceptions about Jesus right now today, right? We make Jesus into our own image, into who we want him to be. We change his words and say, no, he's just only about love, or no, he's only about this, or so judgmental. So the same thing that's happening now with misconceptions was happening then with misconceptions. So there were some misconceptions about Jesus. I don't know if it was from his preaching style when he preached about the kingdom of God, or if it was him speaking about forgiveness of sins. Whatever it was, there was some misconceptions, or there seems to be some misconceptions that Jesus was coming to end the law and the prophets. And what we first must understand, when he says the law and the prophets, that's an idiomatic expression to refer to the entire Old Testament. So idiomatic expression is kind of like me saying it's raining cats and dogs, right? We understand it's not literally raining cats and dogs, right? We're saying that it's raining a lot. Or I may say, that's a cool cat over there. Well, I'm not necessarily talking about a cat or a feline. I can be saying, Pastor Brian, it's a cool cat, you know? So that's a idiomatic expression that he's using here to refer to the Old Testament. Sometimes you'll see it as the prophets and the writings and the law. So you have the law, the prophets, and the writings. That's another way to refer to the entire Old Testament. So when Jesus says that I have not come to abolish the law of the prophets, he's saying, I'm talking about the Old Testament here. I'm not coming to abolish that. Now let's look at 17. Let's look at it a little bit further. I want you to understand this. When he says that I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill, some people also say, well, when Jesus says that, he's using another idiomatic expression. They're saying that he's saying that I have come not to interpret the law incorrectly, meaning abolish, but I've come to interpret it correctly, meaning fulfill. And so some people use it or look at it that way. But if we take that view and saying Jesus is saying, no, I've only come to interpret the Old Testament correctly, then we're having a narrow view of Jesus. If he's only just coming to interpret Moses and that's it, then we have a narrow Jesus and we diminish or take away from who Jesus is, his whole character and person. So I don't particularly hold that view that he's saying that. But from my understanding of the text, when Jesus says that I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, he's saying I have not come to destroy it. I have not come to loosen it down, but I've actually come to fulfill it or complete it. See, in the text, the two words that are being contrasted here is the word abolish and fulfill. Those are the two words that's being contrasted. Those are the two words that Jesus is really speaking on, where all the confusion comes from. But those two words, you got to see, you got to understand them in the context of which they are used. So this first word, to abolish, comes from the Greek word kataluo. Kataluo. It's the same word that Jesus uses in Matthew 24 when he's describing the destruction of the temple. So in Matthew 24, when he's describing the destruction of the temple, and he's talking about how not one stone is not going to be left upon another, that all will be torn down, that part where he says torn down, he's using the word kataluo, meaning to abolish or destroy. So that's how he's using it there. And now this word, this other word here, which is fulfill, this word in Matthew's gospel is used to show the completion of something. So I want to show an example of this. Look at Matthew chapter 1, 22. Matthew chapter 1, 22, verse 22. You hear it? That should only be like a page for us, right? I want to show you how Matthew is using this word here. In Matthew 1, 22, he says, and this is speaking about Jesus, when the angel's coming and telling Joseph that his virgin wife is going to have a son. And look how he explains this in verse 22. It says, now all this took place to fulfill the Greek word pleroo, fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. So you see how Matthew's using this word pleroo. He's using this so completion to fulfill. And the reason I'm showing you Matthew's gospel, not another one, because I want you to understand how the author is using the word fulfill. That's important to see. So he's showing us that right here in Matthew 1:22, when he says fulfill, or he's using that word fulfill, he's using it to speak of prophecy that is being completed. He's talking about Isaiah 7:14. He's saying that Jesus is fulfilling this prophecy of the virgin being born with child. I want to show you another example of this. Look at Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 12 through 15. We here? Look at 12 through 15. It says, now when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill pleroo, what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. So you see how Matthew's using this same word again, to fulfill, to complete. He's saying that Jesus right here, coming to this region, he is light, and he's fulfilling Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, when it's talking about him coming to this region and light coming to this place where there's darkness. So we see in Matthew's gospel, when he's using this word fulfill, he's using it to bring completion, and he's talking about the completion of the Old Testament text being fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. So in our main text, in Matthew 5, when Jesus says that, I have not come to abolish the law of the prophets, I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill, he's saying, I've come to complete it. I'm coming to complete the law and the prophets. I'm coming to complete what was spoken of in the Old Testament. Which means that the Old Testament is not just a random collection of books describing a history of a people, but it is a divine thing. It is a divine book that is pointing or is going somewhere. It is a book that is pointing to a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. That is why Pastor Brian, a few weeks ago, preached Jesus to us out of the book of Exodus. Why? Because all of these books, they are pointing to him. They are pointing to Christ. So Christ is saying, I'm not come to destroy a collection of writings that point to me. Why would I come to destroy that? It's about me. It's pointing to me. It's showing my glory. It's showing all the things about me. So I have not come to just throw that away, to just discard it, to just destroy it. Why? Because this is a book about me. See, Christ was so guarded about the word. He was so guarded and so cautious about God's word and it being spoken properly. And we see that here in verse 18, where he says, for I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Christ is very guarded about the Old Testament. He's very guarded about the Tanakh. He's very guarded about the law and the prophets, to the point he says that not even one jot or tittle will change. And for us, that may not be a big deal, but I want to show you. Can you put this up here, Oleg? What a jot and a tittle is, and how small it is, and how Jesus said that won't even change. So right there, you see that? That's a jot. That's the smallest letter letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It's like, there's no equivalent because their alphabet is totally different, but it's kind of like an apostrophe. It's really small. It's that small and minute. That's a jot. Keep scrolling down a little bit, Oleg. Now that's a tittle, but here's the thing. I need one of those laser pointers. The tittle, when Jesus says one stroke, you see how these look exactly like the same here? But the stroke is different. One is one smooth stroke, but one is two strokes. And you see this little part that's sticking out right here? That's the tittle. You see the difference from that and that? That's the tittle. So Jesus is saying that one jot or one tittle of the Old Testament will not change until all things have come to pass. that small, he's saying, nothing's going to change. So Jesus is very, you can put it down, Oleg, now. So Jesus is very guarded about the word of God. He said that nothing's going to change. And so when he says, until heaven and earth pass away, that not the smallest letter or stroke from the law shall pass, what he's saying is, until there is a new heavens and a new earth, the prophets remain until all is accomplished. Until there's a new heavens and a new earth, all that we see here, all that's in the Old Testament, it will remain until all is accomplished. Now, the key word in this verse 18 that Jesus brings out is he says, accomplished, all is accomplished. By adding that last part here in this verse, Jesus is saying that there is still prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. So we can't destroy the law of the prophets. There's still things that need to be filled. For example, Zechariah 13:7, where the prophecy that talks about how Jesus' disciples will scatter, and Matthew 26:31, that still has to be fulfilled. Or Judas, when he's going to betray him, Psalms 41:9, that still has to be fulfilled. Or when Jesus has to go to the cross and bear our sins, all the things we read in Isaiah 53, guess what? That still has to be fulfilled. Or the Holy Spirit going to fall in Acts 2, that still had to be fulfilled to fulfill the prophet Joel. So all of those things still had to be fulfilled. So he's saying, no, we cannot destroy or change the law and the prophets because there's things that still have to take place in them. So he's showing us that this word of God, it's going to stand. We must understand that this word he's talking about here, it is going to stand. The law and the prophets are still there. And so he's making this huge, huge point here. And here's the thing that we must remember. We must remember that at the time that Jesus was speaking these things, the crowd, guess what? They were still under the old covenants. You gotta get that. When Jesus was going on the mount and speaking to his disciples and the people, it was still under the old covenant. They were still under that. Remember that in order for a covenant to come into effect, in order for a covenant to be ratified, there had to be the shedding of blood. Blood had to be done. So there was no blood yet. They were still under the old covenant. Because remember in Exodus 24, when the children of Israel, when they made their agreement, the covenant with the Lord, what did Moses do? They had the sacrifice, and Moses got the blood out, and then he began to sprinkle it and throw it on the people, saying, now this covenant that you made with God is ratified. Now it's set in stone. Now it is active. And that is the same thing with Christ or in the New Testament. Until there's shedding of blood, until that blood has shed with Christ on the cross, they were still under the old covenant. And that's why you see Jesus in Luke 22 saying this. Go to Luke 22. I want to show you this. Luke 22:20. Look what Jesus says here. This is at the Passover meal, Lord's Supper, which we will do after this message. It says, in the same way, he took the cup after they have eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant. What? In my blood. Why is he saying this? Because covenants are made in blood. The blood is symbolizing the blood that he's going to shed to bring in the new covenant. So covenants have to be made in blood. So I just want you to understand that when Jesus is speaking, that he's speaking to a people under the old covenant, under the old covenant rules. And so we can't destroy those things that the people are still under. And so he's showing us that we need bloodshed. What Jesus is teaching, we see the coming of the new covenant with some of his teachings, but the new covenant does not take full effect until his blood is shed. That's why Christ being on the cross is so important. That's why his blood being shed, when you take it, you got to understand, it is that blood that brings about the new covenant. It is the blood that allows you to approach God. It is the blood why you're now saved by his grace. It's him. This blood is so important. This blood brings in the new covenant. Now back to our main text. Matthew 5. Jesus, so far in 17 and 18, is showing that he's very guarded over the Old Testament or the Tanakh, the law and the prophets. And in 18, we've seen that he's saying that nothing will change from the law and prophets until all is accomplished. But he goes on even more to show you how serious he is about the word of God, the Old Testament, remaining and not changing. Look what he says here in 19. He says, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments, whoever annuls just the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You see how Jesus is putting more layer on top of layer and showing you how important the Old Testament, the Old Covenant is, the Law and the Prophets is. He's going layer after layer. He's saying it's not going to change. And then he's saying heaven and earth will not pass away until all it's accomplished. Now he's saying that whoever even changes a little thing, they're going to be least in the kingdom of God. But whoever preaches them and teaches them, they will be great in the kingdom of God. So he is serious about this word. But when I read this text and I go, whoa, Jesus, you are really serious about this word. But I say whoa for another reason. Yes, it shows us that Jesus Christ is serious about the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, the Word of God. He's very adamant about that. It's not going to change. So I say whoa because of that. But I also say whoa because I see the goodness of God as he explicitly shows us a way of greatness. He explicitly shows us a way of greatness. Somebody's saying, what do you mean by that, Jerome? How is Jesus showing us a way of greatness? Well, look what he says in the text, at least the B portion. He says that whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus in this verse is showing us how greatness is achieved and where it matters most. It is not on the streets of Wall Street. It is not in the White House. It is not in corporate America. It is not in university, but greatness matters most in the kingdom of heaven. And it is measured by a person's obedience to God's word and willingness to teach it to others. Do you see how greatness has been being shown here? It's measured by our obedience to God's word and ability to teach that word to others. He said that person will be great in the kingdom of God. See, this verse should free you because it takes you off of the rat wheel of the American dream and delivers you from the worldly ambitions that tempt your heart to find its rest in success. It's saying no, that none of those things bring greatness, but greatness is through preaching God's word, obeying God's word. So if you want to do something noteworthy with your life, if you want to make it count, if you don't want to waste it, then Jesus is saying, keep the commandments and teach others to do the same. Jesus said it's those people that will be great in the kingdom of heaven. But I want to show you what he does here when he says that. He makes a distinction between keeping and teaching. He doesn't say that they will be great just for keeping the word alone. And he doesn't say that they will be great for teaching the word alone. But he says they will be great for keeping and teaching. See, we often will be that Christian sometimes that said, I'm going to keep the word of God, but guess what? I'm going to keep it to myself. I'm not going to share it. I'm not going to tell anybody about Jesus. He said, no, that's incomplete, just keeping it. And then you have other people that just love to tell you about the Lord, love to tell you about scripture, love to tell you about God, but then they don't actually keep the words themselves. No, Jesus said, no, it is not one or the other. It's both. It's keeping the commandments, the word of God, and it's also teaching them. He said that person, that one will be great in the kingdom of God, our kingdom of heaven. Now, second reason why I said whoa when Jesus makes this verse or speaks these words is because I'm reading this and I'm saying, okay, Jesus, you're talking about the law and the prophets. Are you saying then, Jesus, that in order for us to be great in the kingdom of heaven, that we need to keep and teach all the commandments written in the Old Testament, all of the ceremonial practices, all of the dietary restrictions, all of the holy days and Sabbath days? Is that what you're saying? Because in your previous verses, you're talking about the law and the prophets. You're talking about the Old Testament. And you're saying whoever's going to teach these commandments, they'll be great in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus, is that what you're saying? That I need to go and tell people you can't touch this thing or you'll be unclean and you need to do this Sabbath day and this holy day? Is that what you're saying, Jesus, in order to be great in the kingdom of God? In order for us to answer that question, we must first go back to verse 17. In verse 17, remember, this sets the whole stage of what we're reading going down. Verse 17 says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets, but I have come to fulfill. Remember, fulfill. So we're saying that all of the law and prophets, they are pointing to me. I've come to fulfill. That's what Jesus is saying here. And he also says this in other texts. For example, John 5:39, he says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is in these things, or it is these that testify about me. Or in Luke 24:44, where he tells the disciples, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. So again, Jesus is saying the direction of the law and the prophets find their fulfillment or completion in him. So that means then that any teaching or commandment of the Old Testament will have to be kept and taught based on them finding their fulfillment in Jesus, his teaching, and his walk of life on earth. Is that making sense? When I'm looking at the Old Testament text, whatever I'm looking at, they have to be kept or understood with the mindset that they find their fulfillment in Jesus and what he is teaching and his walk of life. They find their purposes there. See, one of the things here that I want to bring out, when we understand that Jesus in the old covenant makes them come alive, it changes now how we look at the Old Testament text and we look at this text. See, I cannot teach the Old Testament or teach the old covenant without pointing to Christ. He helps us to understand it and find its ultimate fulfillment or ultimate purposes. So, because he helps us to understand this text and bring it to its ultimate purposes, whatever he says about the text is how I live it and walk it out. Some people call that the law of Christ. Some people call that the ways of the kingdom. But however you want to look at it, however you're going to look at the Old Testament text, because Jesus is the fulfillment of it, our understanding of it has to be based on his interpretation of it, and not just his interpretation of it, his life, and not only his life, but how he teaches it to the apostles and the practices that they show us. So when I look at this Old Testament text, my eyes has to first think, what am I saying that Jesus says about it? What am I seeing from Jesus's life? Or what am I seeing from the apostles' life? What am I seeing from their teaching? It is through that that we understand the law and the prophets. It is through that lens that we keep the law and the prophets, because all of this text points to Jesus. He fulfills them. We have to listen to Christ. And that's why in Matthew 17:5, go with me there. I want to show you this verse. Matthew 17:5. So Matthew 17:5. And this is on the transfiguration. This is on the mountain. And Peter is speaking, but look what the Father says here about Christ. It says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him, right? He's saying, listen to him. And I know I've been trying to stay in the gospel, but I just got to bring this point here in Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, what the writer of Hebrews says about Jesus. The writer of Hebrews says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, in many ways, in the last days have spoken to us in his son. So Christ has the final say on how we're looking at the old covenant. He has the final say. And because they find their fulfillment in him, we do what he says and living them out. Because they find their fulfillment in him, what the prophets in the old, what the New Testament prophets say and do about the ceremonial and cleansing things, that is how we look at them. And what we see from the New Testament text, we don't see the New Testament church being taught to carry out the ceremonial things. We don't see them taught the cleanliness restrictions and the blood things. And because of that, we look at the scriptures from their perspectives. So Christ, yes, he tells the person, great are you who keep the law. Great are you who preach it and teach. He said, great are you, but it's teaching the law in the context that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of it. And it's teaching the law in the context that Jesus Christ tells us what it means. And it's not just preaching the law from Exodus, however Moses said it. But no, it's the way that Jesus preaches it. It's the way that Jesus interpreted it. That is how we keep the law and the commandments. So essentially what I'm saying is keeping the law of Christ ultimately keeps the law of Moses. See, they don't contradict. Jesus, by his teaching, he fulfills the laws of Moses. And the ways that he teaches his disciples, they complete what Moses is saying in his text. So as we follow Jesus and the law of Christ, what he teaches throughout this sermon and what he teaches through the apostles, we complete what's in the law. And we're doing, or we're not transgressing what is already spoken. And I know this is difficult text. That's why I said this is very difficult text, because people take this verse and go different ways. But this is how I've come to understand this text. And I know some others may have a different view. So if I'm going to keep the law and the prophets, I have to keep it in light of what Jesus is saying and how Jesus explains it. Now, next week, we're going to stop here. Next week, we're going to get to a deeper understanding of what he says in verse 21 as Jesus compares his teaching on the law and the prophets compared to those of the tradition and going forward. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you that you sent the Christ to help us to understand your word, to understand who you are. God, help us to preach and teach your word. You said it is great, or they will be great who teach and keep your word, God. So help us to teach it and keep it in obedience with what you said, Jesus, in obedience with what you taught to your apostles, in obedience to what we see, how they carried out their life and the practices that they were involved in. God, help us to understand this text in that way. Help us to be great as we follow your ways and your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.